All right, so we are holding on Pei Vav Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Continuing with the series of Mishnayos where we have a din and we ask where's a source in the pasuk for this din. Not always are these psukim that we're saying, not always are they the actual source for the din. A number of times we've been saying that it's more in the nature of an asmachta, but we've been going through like that, several different dinim like that. So here's now in our Mishnah a few more. The Mishnah starts off, Minayim lepeletes shechvat zera vayim ashlishi tshehei tmeya. How do we know that if a woman emits shechvat zera, if she and her husband or whoever had relations, and then within a couple of days after that, it's possible for the zera to not actually be fertilized. It's possible for it to not join together with the egg, and instead it dribbles out of the body. So how do we know that if that happens up until the third day that she's tamei, which actually we're going to see in the Gemara. There's several different opinions on that subject. But anyway, so shenema shehayu nechonim l'shloishet yomim. As you find before Matan Torah, where Hashem tells the Jewish people, be prepared for 3 days from now, because then the Torah is going to be given. Now, why do they need 3 days in order to be tahor? If it was just, for example, because now Tosfos points out, obviously there may have been many other kinds of tmeim, for example, zavim or mitzarayim or whatever, who take longer than 7 days, that will take longer than 3 days to become tahor. Okay, but if they receive the Torah in a state of tumah like that, no big deal. No big deal. After all, I mean, we learned in Brachas that most Tnaim are allowed to learn Torah even under Takanat Ezra, even under the Takanat de Rabbanon, the Takanat in the time of Ezra, that a Baal Keri should not learn Torah. And there was never any restriction on Zavim or Mitzarayim or Nidos, etc., on learning Torah. So the fact that they may not be able to become Torah in time is neither here nor there. I mean, of course, okay, the Medrash says all of them were healed at Matan Torah, but that we're talking about that during the days before Matan Torah, that they should have to get ready wasn't necessary. But when it comes to Shechvat Zera, for now, for a man, if he becomes Tameh with Shechvat Zera, fine, no big deal. He goes to the Mikvah and he's Torah that day. But for a woman, you have this point about being toilet shechvat zera, which may take a couple of days, and therefore, so the point would be, in other words, that as Tosfos says, the Torah that Hashem would have been mastered on something which later on would be at some later point at later point after Matan Torah would make them tamei, and you'd eventually have to tell us Ezra about it that they shouldn't be tamei with that kind of tumah, at least when the Torah is given. So therefore, 3 days. So again, we're going to get into the Gemara in some detail about different opinions on that subject. How long exactly does the Zera remain viable, and therefore how long does she become Tomei, and therefore how long afterwards is she going to become Tomei? And from that, by the way, we're going to have over the next couple of blocks from here to Daf Pei Tes, we're going to be talking about different aspects involving Matan Torah, which the timing is very interesting that we're starting it right after Shavuos. We're starting it during the Yemei Tashlumin, during the Yemei Tashlumin of Shavuos. In fact, on Yom Tovayach itself, on the day after Shavuos, which is the Alter Rebbe talks about in Shulchan Aruch, that they usually when Shavuos comes out on Shabbos as the second day of this year, then all the korbanos that people have to bring to the private korbanos, the Olas Ruia, the Shalmei Chagiga, that they bring are brought on Sunday because they can't bring them on Shabbos. I mean, the machlokes with Shalmei Basila whether they can bring them on Yom Tov. So now we have, today is very directly connected to Shavuos, and we're going to be beginning to talk about Matan Torah, very much as Man Grama. Anyway, continues the Mishnah. Minayin shemachitin et hamila b'yim ashlishi shechali es haShabbos. How do we know another din, that which we're going to discuss in the 19th parak of our Masechta in connection with the dinim of Bris Mila, that you're allowed to bathe, you're allowed to wash the Mila of a baby on the third day after Mila, even if it comes out on Shabbos? Now, we're talking about using, for example, hot water. The point is, in those times, at least, it was considered dangerous if they didn't bathe the baby on the third day after the Bris Mila, And therefore, even if that day comes out on Shabbos, then they're allowed to do that. We're actually going to talk about them in 19th Peres. We're going to see, and we're going to see in all Gemara as well, that there's actually a machlokas tanoim on that subject, whether you're allowed to do that. Anyway, according to the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, as we're going to say in the Gemara, that you're allowed to do that. Where do we see that the third day is particularly dangerous? Shenema, because you have by the story of the people of Shechem who had a brit milah, and then it says by he by Mashlishim Yisim Kayabim on the third day when they were in pain, and Shimon and Levi came and wiped them out. So we see the third day is particularly painful. You have a different Rishonim talk about. Does that mean that only on the third day? Does it mean the first and second day are not particularly dangerous, and only on the third day? Or does it mean that the first day it's starting to be painful, the second day more so, the third day most of all? In other words, it's increasing during those 3 days. Anyway, the Gemara later on, when it mentions this in the 19th paragraph, it's going to say over there that's not really a solid proof, because after all, by over there, the people of Shem were adults. That's not necessarily a solid proof for when you give a baby a bris milah at 8 days old, that a baby tends to heal faster. So not necessarily is it so dangerous on the third day. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah anyway holds that it is. Okay. How do we know that on Yom Kippur, when they sent off the Sur La'azazel, the Mishnah tells us in Yuma that they would send along a red string that was tied to the head of the Sur La'azazel, and then it says over there that if the Jewish people deserved it, then a nest would happen and it would turn white. Now, how do we know that they do that? Shenema, as opposed to this, you hataechem kashonim, kashele yalbinu. Even if your sins are like scarlet, red, symbolizing the dirtiness of Averis, kashele yalbinu, they'll become white like snow. So in fact, the Gemara tells us over there in Yuma, they used to hang the string on the door of the Heichel, but then everybody would get nervous if it didn't turn white, because it would show that Hashem didn't forgive the Averis. So they went through a few different stages, and eventually they got to the point where they tie it to the third Amishaleach and send it off with him. And that way, if it doesn't turn white, the only one who sees it is the guy who's throwing the third Lazozo off the cliff. So that way, everybody else is not worried about it. But so there we see that they would do that. So Ben Yoyada points out, since the pasuk says Hashanim in the plural, meaning true things of scarlet, so from there we see what the Mishnah says over there, that actually they would send it along with the Sur Mishaleach, and then he in turn, the guy who was taking it there, would divide it in half. One half he would keep on the head of the animal, and the other half he would tie to a rock. So we'll learn about that in the Sefer Yoma eventually, that's the shame when we get to that. Continues the Mishnah, another one. Minayim l'sicha shikishtia b'yem ha-tiporim. Where do we see that on Yom Kippur, smearing ointment or oil or whatever on the skin is similar to drinking? And just like we know drinking is awesome in Atzeret on Yom Kippur, so is smearing ointment. You actually have, again, a machlokes rishonim, whether the other, we know that there are 5 inuyim on Yom Kippur. We know you're not allowed to eat and drink, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, you're not allowed to tashmish amita, you're not allowed to bathe, you're not allowed to smear ointment. It's machlokes rishonim whether anything other than eating and drinking is also daraisa, or whether the rest of those things are also dirabanan, and only eating and drinking is daraisa. So if we say they're dirabanan, then the pasuk over here is an asmachta. Otherwise, it's a source for the din daraisa. But alpha pishen raya l'daber, there's no solid proof for it in the pasuk. But zeicha l'daber, There is a remembrance of it in the pasuk. Shenema v'tovei kamayim b'kibur v'hashem and v'atmosav. As the pasuk says, it. In Kapitel Kuf Tesatilim, where David is cursing his enemies very bitterly, and he many took him one after another, where he's giving all kinds of curses of what should happen to them. And he says that these people like to have this curse apparently because they did terrible averus, and obviously therefore they want to be cursed by Hashem, otherwise they would stop doing them. And the expression, the positive is like tovei kamayim b'kibur, it came like water into his insides, the Hashem and b'atmosav, and like oil into his bones. So we see that there's a similarity between oil coming into the body and water coming into the body. So again, it's not a solid proof, Tosfos says, because the fact is, you could just as well say the water coming into the body that's talking about is not talking about drinking, it's talking about bathing in water. And in fact, in Yuma, when the Gemara discusses this din, it actually brings a different positive for it. But over here, the Mishnah is just bringing the Mishnah is just bringing a zecha for it. Okay. The Gemara starts off. The first din of our Mishnah about the Pelatis Shichvat Zera, Reisha Deloy Kribolaz Menazaria, Seifa de Kribolaz Menazaria. On the face of it, we have a problem. The Reisha of our Mishnah about the Pelatis Shichvat Zera is not like the opinion of Kribolaz Menazaria, who holds that there's a shorter amount of time in which the Zera is viable and where she's Tomei, and Seifa, and the next part of the Mishnah about bathing the Milah, about washing the Milah on the third day that comes out on Shabbos, is Kirav Elozman Azariah. That is the opinion of Rav Elozman Azariah later on in Al Masechtah. The E Kirav Elozman Azariah to Hoyrashman Alei, because in fact, if the Reisha of Al Mishnah was according to Rav Elozman Azariah, then it shouldn't be saying, how do we know that if she's Toilet Shichvat Zera on the third day that she is Tomei? According to Rav Elozman Azariah, it should say that she's Tomei, as we're going to discuss now in the Sugya. So to Tahara Shmainalei, we find him saying that she's Tahar. So the answer is, the Gemara says like this, Mandaloi Muki Ketanoi. Now you have like this, you have in other places in the Gemara, Rashi brings, for example, from a Gemara in Bava Mesiyah, where sometimes you have a Mishnah where the different parts of it seem to contradict each other, and you have two possible ways of understanding how to reconcile the two parts of the Mishnah. Is it that we would prefer to make the whole Mishnah go according to one Tana, even if it means altering the wording of the Mishnah, even if it means saying that there must be a mistake in the received text of the Mishnah, and that really it's supposed to say something slightly different? Or do we better say that the Mishnah itself is part of it goes according to one Tana, part of it goes according to another Tana? So here it depends also. If we say, Umandalay Mukis Tanoi, if you don't like to say that a Mishnah like this goes according to two different Tanoim, you would prefer in a case like this to say where the Reisha and the Sefer seem to contradict each other, seem to belong to different Tanoim. If you would rather, and for that purpose, say it's all according to one Tana, even if it means changing the wording of the Mishnah, then if you're going to do that, Tana Reisha Tahora, then that opinion would say in the Reisha of our Mishnah that the proper wording should be that. How do we know if she's Toilet Shichvat Zera on the third day that she's Tahor? And then he would say, okay, so then the whole Mishnah goes like Kribbalah Ben Azariah. Good. So then in that case, so if she's Toilet Shichvat Zera on the third day, then she's Tahor. That's why the Torah was given on the third day, as we're going to start discussing soon. So that way everybody could be Tahor. Whereas according to the opinion that would prefer to say when you have a Mishnah like that, it seems to be self-contradictory, that better we should say that it goes according to two different Tanoim. Okay, so according to that opinion, Reisha Rabbanan would say to Reisha Rabbanan and Azariah. Then he would say that, okay, the beginning of our Mishnah is like the Rabbanan, and the continuation of it is like the Rabbanan and Azariah. Now, obviously, you could have just answered, what's the difference? I mean, they're two different dinim. Isn't Rebbe entitled to pick an opinion of Tanoim for each one? But since in both cases, we're talking about the third day, because the pasuk says, Hayur Nechonim L'Shloishas Yomim, and it says also by Matan Torah, by Yom HaShlishi, and then by the people of Shem, it also says the same expression, by He, by Yom HaShlishi, so they have to be consistent. So therefore the Gemara is seeing a contradiction between them, unless again, either we say in the first part of the Mishnah Tahora, or we say that the Mishnah is in fact according to two different Tanoim. Okay. So now let's talk about that din. How long after Bia, if the woman is Pelat Shichvat Zera, how long afterwards is she Tomei? Tanabon. Pelatis Shichvat Zera by Yemashlishi Tahora, give it a Belozman Azariah. Rav Elozman Azariah says that if it comes out of her on the third day, even though you didn't have three complete days yet, Rav Elozman Azariah says she's already Tahor. The meaning, in other words, Rashi says, let's say they had relations on Thursday, and let's say the Shichvat Zera leaked out of her on Shabbos. So it doesn't matter when on Thursday, it doesn't matter whether it was Thursday, I mean, for purposes in halacha, begins Wednesday night. Every day in halacha, of course, begins the night before. So it doesn't matter whether they had relations on Wednesday night or Thursday day or Thursday night, et cetera. Or not Thursday night, that would already be Friday. But even if it was Thursday, late in the day, nevertheless, and the fact is, therefore, so you don't have three complete days from then until when it leaks out on Shabbos, Nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says saying she's tohor. Rabbi Shmuel, I'm a pahamim shein dalet onus, pahamim shein hey onus, pahamim shein vav onus. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi Shmuel says that not necessarily. Sometimes it's four onus, sometimes five, sometimes six. Meaning, in other words, that Rabbi Shmuel is saying that if it's on the third day, if it's on the third day, she's going to be tamei. But so it depends. If you only sometimes you can have if you have only four. So he would say like this. If you have sometimes you can have that there's four complete onus. So let's say, for example, Rashi says, let's say she had relations on Wednesday, right before the end of the day. Then you need to have four complete onus, because then you have all of Thursday night. An onus means a 12-hour period. So then you have the entire, or not really a 12-hour period. It means an entire night period or an entire day period, even if the days are longer or shorter. So therefore, he says like this. So if they had relations on Wednesday night, shortly before dark, then you have Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, and therefore then her place won't be coming anymore. Sometimes you need five. Sometimes you need five owners. If they had relations on Wednesday right at the beginning of the day, then you need five owners. And sometimes you need six. If it was Beinah Shmoshes going into Wednesday. So in other words, Rabbi Shmuel was saying you always need to have the entire day. You always need to have whatever is left of the day on which the Tashmish took place, plus the next two complete days. So sometimes Rabbi Shmuel says it can come out that you only have 2 days and a tiny bit of a third day if they had relations towards the end of the day on the first day, then you only have the tiny little bit left of that day plus the two complete following days, or vice versa, if they had relations, Beinah Shmoshes, going on Tuesday night, going into Wednesday, then you need the entire Wednesday, which is two onus, the entire Thursday, and the entire Friday. So therefore, point to him, that's going to be anywhere between four and six onus. Rabbi Akiva Omer LaOlam Hei. Rabbi Akiva says you always need five onus. So in order for her not to be tamei, the Yitzchasam Mitzvah Oner Rishona, and Rabbi Akiva says not like Rabbi Shmuel that you just go according to whatever's left of the first owner, and then you count the remaining 2 days after that. Or not the first owner, Rabbi Shmuel says, the first day, you count whatever's left of the first day. Rabbi Akiva says, no. When we say five onus, it means five onus is two and a half days. So if part of one owner passed before they had relations, then we need to compensate for it with part of the sixth owner. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva would say, for example, they had relations an hour after Sefer Kochavim on Tuesday night. So then you're going to have to have, so then he says you need five complete owners. So you have the owner of Tuesday night is not quite complete, so we're missing 1 hour. So then you have four complete owners after that. So she collects the Shechlas Zera, she's Tomei then anytime the rest of Tuesday night, which is most of one owner, then Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Tuesday night, he said. So Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, and the fifth owner then is going to be an hour into the day owner of Friday. So only after that point, if she's politic, Rabbi Akiva says then she's going to be taught. But at any time before that, we have to have those five complete owners, he says. Okay. So those are the various opinions, and then we're going to see further. We're going to see on Amud Beis that there's actually another opinion on the subject. So far, we have three opinions: Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Amru Rabbanan Kamei D'Rapapa." The Chachamim of the Yeshiva were saying over this discussion to to the papa, the amulet of papa, the rabba, or others say the papa said it to rabba, and they point it out like this. Now we have to figure out how these various opinions work with the timing of Matan Torah. Again, we have, as the Mishnah had pointed out, you have Hashem had told Moshe to tell the Jewish people, "Hey, you nechonim b'shloshet yamim, be ready for 3 days from now." That this way everybody should be taher. So how does that fit with these various opinions that we're talking about? The Shloimer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I can understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion. Now, we're also going to have, like this, we're also going to have soon in the Gemara, we're going to start discussing, on other days, the question, which day of the month was the Torah given on? We have the famous Machloikas of Rabbi, we have the famous Machloikas of Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, which we're going to start discussing on other days, whether the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan, which is what the Chachamim say, or on the 7th of Sivan, which is what Rabbi Yossi says. And that affects the question, when did they begin the Prisha? This that we have, that they have to be ready for 3 days, and that during those days, they're not allowed to go up onto the mountain, and they have to stay away from their wives, Al-Tig Shul Isha, when did all that begin? And the Gemara is going to point out later on that for this purpose, everybody agrees that the Torah was given on Shabbos, which we're going to be discussing soon. So let's figure out how these various opinions work with all of that. The Shlomo of Elazar ben Azariah fit Rabbanan. I can understand. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion fits with what the Rabbanan say. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that if she's toilet the Shechvasera on the third day, she's always Tahor, because again, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah had said that if they had relations, let's say on Thursday, and the place was on Shabbos, it doesn't matter when on Thursday they did it, whether it was on Wednesday night after Seif, or whether it was on Thursday right before Shkia. So either way, all you need is whatever's left of Thursday and Friday, and the third day Shabbos, she's already told her. So he goes to Rabbanan, the Amri Bachnishi Ovid Krisha, the Rabbanan say later on in the Sugya, that on the fifth day of the week, on Thursday, is when Moshe told them to separate from their wives, so therefore, so good. So then you have, it works out. So even if anybody had relations Wednesday night, doesn't matter. The fact is, or even if they had relations Thursday in the morning, let's say, before Moshe told them about this, doesn't matter. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, and Shabbos, they're already Torah. At most, what would happen is they could tovel Friday night already, because already Friday night is Shabbos. So then you have, then already at that point, they can tovel Friday night. If she's polish after that, anytime later on Friday night or Shabbos morning, according to the Elazar ben Azariah, no problem. She's not Tomei anymore. And therefore, everybody taught her to receive the Torah.
The whole discussion revolves about whether or not the first day has to be full, basically.
That's part of it, right. Right. So you have
what do you mean it's part of it?
Well, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying it doesn't have to be full at all. Rabbi Shmuel, so far nobody's saying it has to be full. So far, none of the three opinions we have so far say that the first day has to be full. We have Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah saying that any part of it counts. Rabbi Shmuel is not necessarily saying it has to be full either. He's saying sometimes you can have as few as four onus and sometimes as many as six. Basically, what he says is that if it was on the third day, she's going to be Tomei. But it depends. There could be anywhere between four and six onus, between two and three complete days from when the Tashmish took place, and the Zera is still viable. Again, he says that you have to look at calendar days. Basically, he's saying that if the Tashmish took place sometime on Wednesday, then you need all of Thursday and all of Friday. So Wednesday night and Thursday night and Friday, and then already she's taught her. In other words, he's also saying that on the third day she's already taught her, but he's saying not necessarily like the Elazar ben Azariah that it's always going to be on the third day she's taught her. It really depends when they had relations. So for Rabbi Shmuel,
I don't understand. Is he saying that it goes by days or by onus?
He's saying... He's saying that I agree with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah on the concept called Miksa Sayyim Kekolei. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying Miksa Sayyim Kekolei. We count part of a day as like the entire day. Therefore, if they had relations, let's say any time on Wednesday, or any time on Thursday, then that already counts as the first day. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that I do agree that Miksa Sayyim Kekolei, but I disagree on the number of days. That if she's poilet on the third day, she will be tamei. If she's poilet on the fourth day, she'll be tamei. And then you can have a variable number of onus before you reach that fourth day. Because again, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, if they had relations on Thursday, then she's already tamei from Plata on Shabbos. Even if she was poilet on Shabbos, no problem. Because part of Thursday, all of Friday, and already Shabbos is already the third day. Rabbi Shmuel is saying no. Rabbi Shmuel is saying that it's the fourth day that she's going to be tahor. You need to have, so Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos would not be good enough because then you only have 3 days. So he says you have to have 4 days. So he would have to move it back a day. He would say as long as they had relations sometime on Wednesday, meaning anytime between Tuesday night and Wednesday, the end of the day, then she'll be tahor on Shabbos. And the number of onus that will last is variable. You can have if they had relations right at the beginning of Tuesday night, then you need six complete onus. Tuesday night, Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, and only then when Shabbos comes in is she going to tell her from place.
So one is saying you need two full days.
One is saying 3 days, one is saying 4 days.
No. But one is saying 2 full days and some part of another day, and the other one is saying 3 full days and some part of another day.
Yeah, 3 and 4 days, respectively, right.
It's not 4 days. It's part of a day.
Okay, whatever. The point is, in other words, Rabbi Shmuel is saying that you need, only if she's poilet on the fourth day can she be tahor. And what's needed in order to be poilet on the fourth day? So therefore, so you have he says if as long as the tashmish was Wednesday or earlier, then she's good on Shabbos. But if it was on Thursday, then already it's no good.
Right. So according to him, you need 3 days and some part of another day
and some part of the fourth. Yeah, that's what we're saying. As opposed to a point of Elazar ben Azariah, you need 2 days and part of a third, right? Right.
Okay.
And then we have Rabbi Akiva, who says you always need 5 oynas. You always need 2.5 days, in other words. So that's where you have to figure out how those fit with the various opinions about the timeline of when the Torah was given. That's what we're saying. The Shleimut of Elazar ben Azariah said Rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, we understand, he's going according to the Rabbanan. The Amri Behei Ovid Kedusha. The Rabbanan say that on the fifth day of the week is when Hashem told Moshe to have the Jewish people separate from their wives. So therefore, so you have good, because that way, once after that they stop having relations, then good. So you have some part of Thursday, all of Friday, and Shabbos is already the third day, and they're good. They can go to the mikvah Friday night, and they're good for getting the Torah Shabbos morning. So that works.
So they all agree that you need part of a day, but Rabbi Akiva says you need 2 full days and part of a day.
One second. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, we understand. According to him, all you need is one complete day in the middle, and then you need two more, and then you need part, and you have a part of a day before that, and then already the third day, the beginning of the third day, then already we're good. In other words, Tosfos says, in the same way as Rabbi Shmuel had said, sometimes you need 4 oynos, sometimes 5, sometimes 6. In effect, the Gemara could have said the same thing about Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Sometimes you only need 2 oynos, sometimes 3, etc. But in other words, you have to think of it that way. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that at the beginning of the third day already she's good, and Rabbi Shmuel is saying only at the beginning of the fourth day is she good.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So Rabbi Ishmael, according to Rabbi Ishmael, you need 3 full days and one some part of a day. According to Rabbi Eleazar ben Azariah, you need what? You need two full days and one part of a day.
No. Then you misunderstand. According to Rabbi Eleazar ben Azariah, you don't need that many. You really only need one full day in between. That's the thing. He can have as little as two oynas. He can have. They had relations on Thursday night, right before the end of the day, right before Shkia, let's say. And so then all you have is you have nothing left at that point of Thursday because it's already right before Shkia. You have all of Friday, Thursday night and Friday day, and Friday night Shabbos already she covered. So you only had two complete oynas. You only had just over 24 hours from when they had relations, and already he's saying that's enough because it's already the third calendar day.
Which is two full days and two parts of the day.
Where are you getting two full days from? Thursday night to Friday night is one full day, not two full days. One full day and a little bit of one day on one side and a little bit of the other day on the other side, because mixed with the koloi. Rabbi Shmuel agrees with the same basic point, but he says you have to move it over one day because he says you have to have two full days plus parts of two other ones. So according to him, you need at least a little bit of Wednesday, all of Thursday, all of Friday, and a little bit of Shabbos. So then, as soon as Shabbos comes in, then you have a tiny bit of Shabbos, and meanwhile, you had before a tiny bit of Wednesday. It's only two days. It's only two full days since they had relations. Because they had relations, let's say, Wednesday night right before Shkia. And now we're talking about Friday night right after Shkia. So two days and a tiny bit. Whereas according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, you only needed one day and a tiny bit. So that's what we're saying. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Shlemer Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah ki Rabbanan. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's opinion, we can understand, goes according to the Rabbanan. The Amri Behei Ovid Prisha. The Rabbanan say that the Prisha took place on Thursday, so that's good. In other words, as long as they stopped having relations sometime on Thursday, then all you need is a little bit of Thursday, even a tiny bit of Thursday, all of Friday, and Friday night already they're tahor from pleita, and they can go to the mitzvah. Rabbi Shmuel would go like Rabbi Yossi, who says later on in the Gemara that the prisha actually took place on Wednesday. So according to him, same idea. They stopped having relations sometime on Wednesday. You have a part of Wednesday, all of Thursday, all of Friday, and Shabbos is the fourth day, and you're good. Ela Rabbi Akiva Kiman, but Rabbi Akiva's opinion, which of those opinions does that follow? Rabbi Akiva, who says that you need five onus, 2.5 days. So where are we getting 2.5 days from? The answer is La'olam Kirab Yosi. The answer is Rabbi Akiva would actually agree with Rabbi Yosi. It's similar to what Rav Adabar Abba says, Moshe b'hashkama Ola u'hashkama Yorad. Moshe, whenever he went up to Har Sinai, always went up early in the morning, and he always came down early in the morning. So when he received this mitzvah from Hashem, that they should separate from their wives for the next 3 days, it would have been in the morning. So how do we know that? B'hashkama Ola. How do we know that whenever Moshe went up to Har Sinai, he went up early? Because the pasuk says, "Dichtiv vayashlim Moshe baboker vayal al Har Sinai." The pasuk says, "By the lochus shnius," that Moshe woke up early in the morning and went up to Har Sinai. So you see from there, he woke up early. In fact, Maharsha points out, "Baboker itself could mean any time during the morning. Vayashlim means he woke up earlier." So he always went up to the mountain first thing in the morning. And Bahashkama Yorad, we know that he came down early in the morning. He would hear whatever it is he needed to hear from Hashem and then come right down. Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says by Matan Torah, Lech Reid Ba'alisa Atav Aranimach. The Pasuk says, go down from Har Sinai, and then you come up together with Aaron. This is by Matan Torah, where Hashem tells him to go down and warn the people one last time not to come close to Har Sinai, and then you and Aaron go up, each of you to your own area. You're going to be going up further. Aaron is going to be going up less. It's Canaan less. Whatever. The point is, the Pasuk mentions go down and go up. Makish Yurid El Aliyah. So therefore, we have a Hekish. The Pasuk is comparing the going down and the going up. Ma Aliyah Bashkama, just as we just said that when he went up to Har Sinai, each time was in the morning. The same thing. After you did the Bashkama, the same way, the going down also took place Bashkama. So what does that mean? In other words, So it comes out that he told them so first thing in the morning on first thing. So Rabbi Akiva. So we'd be saying like this: Rabbi Akiva is going according to Rabbi Yossi. The prisha took place on Wednesday. So then you have, in other words, so you have again according to Rabbi Shmuel, we would say that's good because you need just some part of Wednesday. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't care whether Moshe told this to them early in the morning or later on in the day, as long as you have some part of Wednesday and all of Thursday and all of Friday, then you're good for Shabbos. According to Rabbi Akiva, who says five onus, what it is because we're making a point of saying that that Moshe came down and told the people during in the morning. So therefore, what we have is we had to make sure that from then, from when he tells them until Friday night when they're going to Tovel, is going to be five onus. You know, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday day, and then they can Tovel on Shabbos. And as Rabbi Akiva had said, if some part of one owner is missing, then you have to make it up at the end of the last one. So therefore, according to him, in other words, the idea would be if by the time a particular Jew got the message, by the time a person got the message, let's say that they have to separate from their wives, it was an hour after Netzachama. So okay, they're gonna have to wait until an hour after Shkia before they can tovel. But fine, sometime on Friday night they're going to be able to tovel, and that way they'll be ready to receive the Torah Shabbos morning.
So Rabbi Akiva counts ones and Rabbi Yossi counts days, and if that's very different.
Rabbi Yossi is not talking in terms of the Torah at all. Rabbi Yossi wants to tell us the timeline of Matan Torah, and he says you should know when did Moshe tell them that they should do Prisha was on the fourth day of the week, on Wednesday, whereas the Chachamim say on Thursday. So Rabbi Yossi, so what it is once we have that opinion, then Rabbi Akiva says, given that we know that every time Moshe came down from Har Sinai, it was first thing in the morning, that was when he told them Mitzvah Prisha. And since we see, according to Rabbi Yossi, that it had to be that way, Hashem couldn't tell them any later than Wednesday morning that it's time to do Prisha, then that implies that you need five onus. That from that we learn that you need five onus, because then you have the remainder of almost all of Wednesday day, Thursday night, Friday day, and then on Friday night, they're able to tovel. So Rabbi Akiva is saying, once we have Rabbi Yossi's timeline, then we can learn from that you need five onus. Otherwise, in other words, the point is, if we went according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, then he wouldn't have needed to tell them Prisha already on Wednesday morning. He could have told it to them Thursday, sometime during the day. And according to Rabbi Shmuel, he would have had to tell them that sometime on Wednesday, fine, but it wouldn't have had to be Wednesday first thing in the morning. It could have been Wednesday right before Shvia, let's say. Only once we say that it was Rabbi Akiva is focusing on the fact that it had to actually be through, that it actually had to be Wednesday morning rather than afternoon. And from that he says we learn five months. So the question is, why indeed does Moshe have to tell them to stop having relations during the day? Didn't Rav Huna say that the Jewish people are holy people and they don't have relations during the day? So in other words, Rashi brings a pasuk from Mishlei in this connection that the boys at Zerach of Yamut, that a person who has relations not in a theistic way, it's a bad thing. Yomos, he will die. So the Jewish people already know that. So okay, it's before Matan Torah, but still the Jewish people already know this concept that you have to be tzniyastik when you're having relations. So they already knew that concept. Especially Tosfos says they'd already been called a couple of days earlier. Hashem had already called them Mamlechas Kohen and Goy Kodesh, that they're already at that point a holy nation. So they already have almost instinctively that idea that they have to be tzniyastik when it comes to having relations, and therefore they're not going to do it during the day. So why would Moshe have to tell them first thing in the morning? You could tell them anytime. You could tell them as soon as it becomes light in the morning, Wednesday morning, according to this opinion, already the last time anybody would have had relations would have been during that night. So he doesn't have to tell them explicitly during that day. As long as he tells them sometime before that night, be aware, tonight you're not going to be able to have relations for the next couple of nights, then he should be good. So why does he have to tell them on Wednesday morning, according to that? The answer is Ha'omar Rava. But don't you know, Rava said, if Hoya bias also mutter, first of all, if it was a dark house, then you're allowed to, because the reason why you're not allowed to have relations during the day is because he may look at parts, so he may, the husband and the wife may look at parts that it's not really appropriate for them to be looking at. We have also, in other places, like Gemara mentions also, there's the idea that he may see some flaw, he may see some physical flaw in his wife, and then he won't like her that much, then he won't love her as much, and it's a violation of Avos Yisrael. So like this, but if it's a dark house that doesn't have windows, then it's allowed. So you could have had, there could have been people who lived down there. Of course, this is in the Midbar, everybody's living in tents, but still, okay, you could have some tents that are built in such a way, that's their huts or whatever, that are built in such a way where no natural light or very little natural light gets in, and the halacha is actually you would be allowed to have relations during the day in such a place. And furthermore, the Amar Rava, also Rava says, the Itamir of Papa, or some say that Papa said, Tamid Chacham Mav Masel B'Talisei Umoter, a Tamid Chacham who knows how to act in a sneeristic way and avoid looking where he's not supposed to, he is able to make the room dark with his talus and then his mutter. In other words, he can hang his talus over the window to block out the light, and then he's allowed to have relations during the day where he feels it's necessary. In fact, the Rambam says, when we say Tamid Chacham, it's not only, as Rashi says, because he knows to be sneeristic, but also because he's not going to overindulge in this. He's going to know, when there's an emergency situation, he's really feeling the need, and he can't wait for that night, then fine. But he's not going to do it on an ongoing, he's not going to do it on a regular basis. Anyway, the point is, so there are cases where a couple is allowed to have relations during the day. So therefore, for that purpose, Moshe had to tell them no later than Wednesday morning, otherwise you don't have five onions. Okay. So the point is, therefore, so according to all these opinions, when are the women going to the mikveh to make sure that when the latest that the women are going to the mikveh is Friday night? Because again, for example, according to the Balazim and Azalia, we said they could have been having relations sometime during the day on Thursday, but it's okay because as long as you have the one complete day in the middle, Friday, you have a little bit of Thursday and a little bit of Friday, a little bit of Thursday day and a little bit of Friday night, which is Shabbos, then already that's the third day. According to Rabbi Shmuel, same thing, but with the fourth day. According to Rabbi Akiva, same thing, but with five onus. Either way, it comes out they're going to the mikveh Friday night. So it comes out they're tevula yoyim. We know when a person goes to the mikveh that they go to the mikveh, but then they have to wait until head of shemesh, until tzeisik hachavim of that day, in order to be completely tohur. In this case, you don't have that because if they tevul Friday night and the Torah is being given Shabbos morning, there's still tevula yoyim at the time because they would only become completely tohur on Motzei Shabbos at tzeisik hachavim. So how does that work? Aren't they all tevula yoyim? So they're not completely tahor. The answer is, the Gemara says, no problem. I buy it by Rav and Rav Chanina by Oven to Amitabayu, Nix the Torah, the Tevul Yon. No problem. The Torah was able to be given to Tevul Yon. Being a Tevul Yon does not prevent a person from receiving the Torah. When do you need a head of Shemesh is as far as eating Kodshin. As far as entering the Mishmish or whatever, here you don't need any of that. So over here, if they're Tevula Yoyim when they're receiving the Torah, no big deal. So the Gemara says, Yosef Marema was sitting, Chalal Lahoshmaita, and he was saying over this discussion about how many onus you need and about this point about the Torah was given to Tevula Yoyim. Amalei Ravina Lamarema. So Ravina asked Marema, let me clarify, what's the Loshin that you use? When you said nitna, does that mean nitna ka'amrit or ra'uya ka'amrit? Do you mean that the Torah was actually given to Tevula Yoyim? In other words, that there were actually Tevula Yoyim there at the time. There were people over there who waited the Torah until Friday night and were Tevula Yoyim Shabbos morning. Or ra'uya ka'amrit. Or do you mean the Torah could have been given to Tevula Yoyim? So Lamaisa, what would have happened is that the women would have gone to the mikveh Friday during the day, and there was no plater. So therefore, so in other words, so what would happen is like this. According to that second way of looking at it, Rashi explains, let's say if a woman had tovled on Friday during the day, and let's say later that day she would have been toilet, so according to everybody, according to all the various opinions, she would have become tomei. Okay, so she individually would have had to tovel Friday night. In practice, maybe there was no plater, nobody was in that situation where they actually had to tovel Friday night. Therefore, everybody was not only, therefore everybody was completely tahor when it came Shabbos, it was all of them tovel Friday during the day. None of them needed to tovel again Friday night. So all of them had a head of Shemesh when it came to Kehavim Friday night. And therefore, Shabbos morning, they were tahor completely, not even from Tevul Yom. Or, so is that what you mean, that it was Re'uya, it could have been given to Tevul Yom if necessary, but in practice it wasn't necessary. Or do you mean that it was actually given to Tevul Yom, that the women actually went to the mikvah Friday night? Which was it? Only Re'uya coming up. So Marema says, I didn't mean that it was actually given to Tevul Yom, I meant it was suitable to be given to Tevul Yom. In other words, that's what they did. They did Tovel Friday during the day. In case any of them had been polit, then they would have had to they would have had the Tovel Friday night. But in the event, nobody did. Nobody was polit in the end, and therefore. And therefore, in the end, nobody ended up having to re-tovel Friday night. Therefore, when it came Shabbos morning and the Torah was given, all of them were actually completely tahor. None of them were tevulah yom. Okay. So the Gemara asks. Now let's get back to the question of the question is, if we're saying according to Rabbi Akiva that you need five complete onus. Then in that case they don't have so the question is the litvalu bei shimshi v'lekablu tovel bei shimshi. In that case, why are we saying they need to tovel Friday night and then they're going to be tevulah yom on Shabbos morning? Why don't we say then they could tovel bein hashmoshes Friday night before Seder Kachavim. The Kabbalah Torah Bein Shimshi, and then they would even be able to receive the Torah that night on Friday night. So why did they have to wait until Shabbos morning to receive the Torah? So Rashi says the question is specifically on Rabbi Akiva. Why is Rabbi Akiva, who says that Moshe told them first thing Wednesday morning to separate from their wives? So according to him then, you have at that point five complete onus. You have Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, so they should be able to go to the mikveh right before the end of the day, on Friday night. Then they can have head of Shemesh. Then come face of Chavim, they're completely tahor, and the Torah can be given right there. Bein Hashmoshes. The Tosfos says the question is not only on Rabbi Akiva. Tosfos says the question is also on the other opinions as well. Why are they saying that it goes according to days? Let them also say that it goes according to onus. So why didn't they receive the Torah Friday night? The answer is Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. The pasuk says Loi Meirosh Vaseifte Dibarti. The pasuk says Hashem says I didn't speak at the beginning in secret. In other words, Hashem is saying, I wasn't going to be speaking and giving the Torah at night. I'm not hiding it. I'm not giving the Torah in hiding. I'm giving the Torah openly. For one thing, Marashal says Hashem didn't want that the Goyim are going to have an excuse to say, let's say, you know what, Hashem sneaked the Torah around us. Hashem gave the Torah to the Jewish people in hiding. He gave it at night when nobody's around to see it. And that's why we didn't accept it. If Hashem had given it during the day, then we would have accepted it. So like this, in order to forestall that excuse, Hashem gave the Torah during the day. Bechal was also an idea. Rav Shamshon Rafal Hirsch talks about in many places in his commentaries that in general, most mitzvahs have to be done by day. Korbanos have to be done by day because we want to show that it's not, there are people who have the mistaken impression that the Torah and mitzvahs and everything are like a dark thing. They're meant to keep away harm from us. They're meant to appease various evil forces that there are in the world, and the Torah wants to stress that no, that's it's a daytime thing. It's in the full light, and when a person realizes what's going on, a person can see what's going on, and they do what they're supposed to do. So the same way, the Torah had to be given during the day. The Torah wasn't going to be given at night. okay, excuse me. Okay, so the question is, in that case then, why do they have, in that case, still the question is on Rabbi Akiva, and here Tosfos agrees the question is only on Rabbi Akiva, why do they have to Tovel Friday night? Why couldn't they Tovel Shabbos morning and receive the Torah Shabbos morning? If anyway, they're going to be Kerula Yoim. So in other words, like this, we said that Moshe told them to separate from their wives on Wednesday, first thing in the morning, so that way you would have the whole owner of Wednesday day, and then you have the following owners, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, and they can Tovel Friday night. Why was that necessary? Let him tell the husbands and wives to separate sometime in the middle of the day on Wednesday. And okay, Rabbi Akiva had said before, if you're missing part of the first owner, then you have to make it up when it comes to sixth owner. So okay, so they won't Tovel Friday night. They'll Tovel Shabbos morning. You'll still have five complete owners. Because you'll still have, let's say they had relations sometime in the middle of the day Wednesday. From then, 2.5 onus brings us to Shabbos morning. So why couldn't they do that? The answer is, Amar Rav Yitzchok, Shelo Yehei Halolu Hochan L'Kabel Torah V'Halolu Hochan L'Tevilah. Because you don't want that some people are going to receive the Torah and other people are still going to Tovel. You want the whole Jewish people together to be receiving the Torah. So therefore, so you want to make sure that everybody has toveled, before that. Okay. Now, all of this, so this was all based on three different opinions. This was all three different opinions of how long after the bia the plate is still topping. So now we're going to have a fourth opinion. All of this that we've been saying all this time is the opinions of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Chachamim omrim sheish onus shleimus be'inim. The Chachamim say that in order for her not to be tohu, to be tamei from pleita, you need six complete onus. In other words, according to them, you need three full 24-hour periods, six complete onus. So therefore, according to them, it would come out that some people would have had to be tovel on Shabbos morning. Because what would you have? You would have before Moshe told them to separate, from the husbands and wives to separate, then you would have some of them might have had relations then. Then counting from their three complete days, or even let's say, before that, they had relations, let's say, Tuesday night. So the Chachamim are agreeing, basically, with Rabbi Yossi's opinion, that the Prisha took place on Wednesday, but they're going beyond that. They're saying, even let's say they had relations on Tuesday night, that's not, you still have, you need, so what you have is, yes, yeah, if let's say they had relations the end of Tuesday night, then you would need six complete onus from there. You would need Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, Friday night, and they can only go to the mikveh after Friday night is over, meaning only Shabbos morning. Because up until that point, the Zera is still viable, and if it comes out of her, it's still going to be Matameh. So they would say, Rashi says, that's precisely why the Torah could only be given Shabbos morning. We were just asking the question, why could the Torah not have been given Friday night? And we quoted the passage, Loi Mirosh Baseita Dibauti, that Hashem doesn't speak in darkness, Hashem speaks in the daylight. But now, according to the Chachamim, you don't need that. According to the Chachamim, the Torah could not have been given earlier than Shabbos morning, because any time before that is still within the six onus, and they'd be coming. So you would actually have to have then that some people maybe would have to be going to the mikvah Shabbos morning. So the Magen Avraham actually asks a question on that. He points out, in that case, the halacha is like the chachamim. The halacha is you need six complete onus, which is very relevant nowadays when we calculate how long after a woman's period is over, how long she has to wait before she goes to the mikveh. And we have nowadays, there's the 5 days that she has to count, plus then there's the seven clean days. So where do we get the 5 days from? We talked about this when we looked at the Sechta Nida. It's based on this idea that there might be Pleita Shichvas Zera, which would interrupt your count. We also have then that normally you have those six complete onus spread out over parts of 4 days, because you usually have, let's say, they have relations sometime during the day, sometime at some point on Tuesday. Then you would have part of Tuesday, part of Wednesday, part of Thursday, part of Friday. Those are 4 days. over which the six owners spread. On top of that, you can add they could have had relations Bein HaShemoshes, which then Bein HaShemoshes is suffix whether it belongs to one day or the next. So therefore, you have it could spread out over as many as 5 days. Because again, you could have, they had relations Bein HaShemoshes Tuesday, let's say Tuesday going into Wednesday. You're not sure whether Tuesday counts as the first day. When they had relations, was it still on the part that counts as Tuesday, or was it already on the part that's the beginning of Wednesday? So therefore, you have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. There's your 5 days. So the halacha is like a chachamim. So the Magen Avraham asks, in that case, if we're saying that the chachamim's opinion only fits with Rabbi Yossi, that the Torah was given on Zion Sivan, then why is it Shavuos for us comes out on the 6th of Sivan? Why do we say Zman Matan Torah Seinu? It seems to be a contradiction. It seems to be a contradiction. You're saying on the one hand it's Zman Matan Torah Seinu, meaning that the Torah was given on the 6th day of Sivan, but then you're saying the halacha is like the Chachamim, that you need 6 complete owners, which can only work with Rabbi Yossi's opinion that the Torah was given on the 7th of Sivan. So he leaves it as a question. He says, okay, you do have, this could be when we say, Hoytis Moshe, Yemechad Medaita, the Gemara is going to say later on that Moshe told them to add an extra day on his own, that it could fit with that. In other words, really the Torah was actually given on the 7th of Sivan, according to that opinion, but it was meant to be given on the 6th of Sivan, but Moshe told them to add an extra day for Purisha. He mentions also that Magen Avraham, in this connection, by the way, brings an interesting point, that B'chlal, this Hosif Moshe Yom Echad Medaita, is the source for the idea of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galus. This is the Chachamim have the ability to tell us, keep an extra day of Yom Tov, and make Kiddush on it, and say in davening that it's Yom Tov or whatever, they have the power, they were empowered to do that based on the fact that we see originally that Moshe told them to add an extra day. Which we'll take up that point again tomorrow. Okay. So now continuing on the dinim of Shichvas Dera, Amar Rav Chista, Machlokas Shepirsha Mina Isha. This whole machlokas of how long the Zera remains viable, and therefore how long after it comes out of the woman's body, how long is it Matame? That's only Shepirsha Mina Isha. Only when we're talking about when it came out of the woman. Avo Pirsha Mina Ish, but if Shichvas Dera comes out of a man, then Tmeya calls Manshi Ilacha, then it's Matame as long as it's still moist. And now, I should mention, by the way, before we get to that, we said over here in the Gemara that the Chacham said Sheish Onus Shlemus. If you look in, you notice over there's an Aleph, and the Aleph refers to Hagoyis Agra, which mentions that the Geonim and also the Rambam have a Girsa that the Chacham says Sholosh Onus. 3 onus. So that's part of what the Magen Avraham says there also, that in fact, if we say 3 onus, then it works out very nicely, because then according to the Chachamim, they're long since Torah by the time it comes to Matan Torah, even if they did the Prisha on Thursday, and definitely if they did it on Wednesday. The Rambam, in fact, passes like that, they only need 3 onus. In Shulchan Aruch, though, it passes like the opinion that you need 6 onus, which is what I was saying before about the 5 days. Okay. So Amar of Chis, the machlokas of Pirshim and Isha, this machlokas is only if the Zera comes out of the woman, out of Pirshim and Isha, but if it comes out of the man, then it's Matamek called Manshi Lacha as long as it's still moist. Once it dries out, it's not Matamek anymore because then it's not viable. Tosfos brings a different explanation that when we say, now on the face of it, when we say it comes out of the man, we mean the man ejaculates and produces sperm, and then we're saying it's Matamek as long as it's moist. Tosfos gives a different explanation that if you're talking about if a man had relations with another man and so the recipient had Zera inside him and then that leaked out, then we're saying it's different than the case of a woman where it's only with two owners, where it's 2 days or 3 days or 5 owners or 6 owners or whatever it is with a man, when it comes out and it leaks out of a man, it would be as long as it's moist, it's still metabolic. So the verse is mostly Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet says, I have a contradiction to that from a Braita. A Braita says, when the Pasuk says, the Pasuk says if there's any cloth or any leather on which there is Shichvas Zera, then it's Tomei, and you have to toggle it in the mitzvah. And the expression Shichvas Zera means that it's able to be viable, it's able to produce seed and produce children. Prat Shichvas Zera Shisrucha, as opposed to if the Shichvas Zera is spoiled, then it's not Matame anymore. Now, what is it being spoiled? My lav shekushim and ish. On the face of it, that could even mean when it came out of the man onto a cloth or onto leather or whatever. Because the pasuk is not making the distinction. So we see, therefore, that even though it's still moist, and the braisa is not saying that it has to be dry. The braisa is just saying once it's srucha, once it's spoiled, then it's not metame anymore. So on the face of it, even after it comes out of a man, it could still be moist, but it's still spoiled already. The answer is loish, perishim and isha. Not necessarily. The braisa is talking about where it leaked out of the woman onto a beged or whatever. Then you have the four or five or six onus or whatever, the different opinions we had, after which it's not metame. But when it comes out of a man, then it would be metame as long as it's still moist, even after it's spoiled. Okay. So the Gemara asks, boy the papa, shichbat zera she'yisrobim a kutis mahu. What would happen if a Jewish man had relations with a Goyish woman? Mahu, what would it be? And is that zera? Do we say the same 3 days or the same five onus or whatever the different opinions, do we say the same time period or not? Now, we're not asking a question about if a goy has relations with a goyter, because a goy zera, at least on a daraisa level, is not metame. Midrabanan, we say they're considered like zavin, but the concept that it should be metame for 3 days doesn't apply to them. It only applies to shichvat zera from a Jewish man. So if he had relations with a goyish woman, what would be the din? Do we say like this? Yisrael did the Iggy b'mitzvah, the Jewish people who are always worried and concerned about doing mitzvahs. So therefore, as Rashi says, v'chayim mitzvahs, v'charedim b'dover, they're very nervous and always concerned about it and making sure to do the right thing. So therefore, that heats up their body. Chavil gufay, who therefore that heats up their body, and therefore the shechvat zera spoils after 3 days, that it's inside the body. On the other hand, the goyim do not have that concern and that worry of making sure that they're doing the mitzvahs properly. So therefore, loy. So maybe by then, even after 3 days, the zera doesn't spoil. Or dilma, or maybe kiven the achlan shkotim or ramasim, since on the other hand, the goyim eat shkotim or ramasim, all the various kinds of non-kosher animals and creeping creatures and whatever. So therefore, chavo gufayu, maybe that itself also makes that their body heat up, and therefore, so that that raises their body temperature. So a Jew and a goy, in other words, according to that, would have a similar body temperature, but for different reasons. The Jew because he's concerned about mitzvahs, and the goy because he eats shkatim or ramasim. So maybe yes, maybe not. So you might say, yes, the answer is that, yes, the goyim eat shkotim or ramasim, therefore that heats up their body, therefore, the same three days that applies to a Jewish woman also applies to a goyish woman who has zera inside her. But what about, we can ask, what about v'mei behema mahu? What if a Jewish man were to commit bestiality with an animal? Same thing. Does the 3 days apply or not? Do we say isha he de isla proizder? Now the difference is anatomically, a woman's evorim in that area are different than a man's, because a woman has a proizder. A woman has a birth canal over there. The coastal base of Rechem, Rashi says, you have the vagina sticks out, you have the womb is further inside, and then you have the vagina outside of that. Plus, actually, you have in various other places, the Gemara talks about, that a woman also, because she stands upright, the insides of her legs cover that area also. So, like, the whole area is more covered up. So therefore, it heats up more. You have like there's a higher temperature. Av a behema delesla prozer. A behema does not have a prozer. It has a vagina, obviously, but it's shorter than a woman's, and it's also not covered by the inside of her legs, so it just sticks out in the back. So therefore, maybe the shechvat zera loy, maybe it doesn't get as hot in there, and therefore it doesn't spoil. Or jom loy shnoi, maybe there's no difference. 3 days is 3 days. I mean, what's it take? The take of whether it would be metame after 3 days. Interesting point in this connection, by the way, the Chassam Sofer has an interesting tshuva of his where he discusses the question. In general, we know in halacha we rely a lot on what doctors say, but he says, actually, I wonder, he says, how much does that apply nowadays? It's one thing in the olden days when doctors learned when doctors learned what they learned from checking on both Jewish and Goyish patients. But nowadays, he says, a lot of their information about the human body comes from dissections, for example, and they're not dissecting Jewish bodies, because at least at that time, at least still at that time, you know, a Jew was buried lahalacha, and therefore they're learning what they're learning only from examining Goyish bodies, and how much of that applies to Jews, as we're saying over here in the Gemara. Not necessarily is the physiology of a Jew and a Goy the same, because a Jew has mitzvahs and a Goy doesn't, but on the other hand, a Goy's diet is different than a Jew's. So the Chassam Sofer, in fact, talks about the question, to what extent, when Goyish doctors tell us such and such about the human body, how much is that always true about a Jew's body? Okay. So now we're going to start getting into the question, now we're going to start getting into the discussion about what the timeline was that the Torah was given. We learn in a Braita. Bashishi b'chodesh nitzim aseres ha-debris b'yisro, Rav Yosi over b'shiva b'oi. We mentioned before this machlokes, the Chachamim say the Torah was given on the 6th of Sivan. Rav Yosi says it was given on the 7th of Sivan. So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, dekulei alma b'resh chodesh also b'midbar Sinai. Now it's like this. Both the Chachamim and Rav Yosi agree that they came to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, and we know the Ksiv Hacha by Yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, because the pasuk says on the pasuk just says B'Chodesh Hashlishi on the third month. It doesn't say what day of the month, but it says by Yom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, on this day they came to Midbar Sinai. Ksiv Hacha B'Chodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. You have a pasuk that says this is the first of the month for you, meaning that that's when Hashem gave Moshe the mitzvah of the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, the mitzvah of declaring Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, so the word Hazeh, we make Zeh Roshava, Malahalan Rosh Chodesh, Afkan Rosh Chodesh. So just like over there, it was Rosh Chodesh, that Hashem showed Moshe the new moon and showed him this is how it's going to be when it's Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, the same thing over here, it means that they came to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh. Actually, yes, some of them approach him on the pasuk say you don't even need that. Just the fact that it says b'chodesh hashlishi, the word chodesh, they say, has a double meaning. It means Rosh Chodesh, and it also means, and Rosh Chodesh, the word chodesh in the pasuk sometimes means Rosh Chodesh. Like, for example, you have in that third of Mokha Chodesh, v'yihi b'yom ha-chodesh hasheni, where it means the second day of Rosh Chodesh. Yes, some of them approach him actually say over there that it actually means the Eben Ezra, for example, mentions over there that that's what it means. The word Chodesh itself can mean Rosh Chodesh. Whatever the case, they came to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh, and continues Rava, Dekule Alma B'Shabbos Mitzvah Torah. Everybody also agrees with the fundamental fact that the Torah was given, the Shabbos Mitzvah Torah of Israel, that the Torah was given to the Jewish people on Shabbos. We know that because one of the Aseret HaDibros is remember the day of Shabbos to make it holy. Moshe tells the Jewish people when they're going out of Mitzrayim, remember this day. So therefore, Mala Halandi, just like there, Moshe is telling them Zohar on the day itself that they left. He's telling them always remember this day. Afkandi, so Moshe Yom, the same thing. When it says Zohar, if you have a Shabbos Akadre, it has to be that it's said to them on the actual day itself that they have to remember, namely Shabbos. So both of them agree with those fundamental facts. This that we say, by the way, the Shabbos Nitzah Torah Yisrael, there's a lot of different explanations that what was the significance of this, that the Torah was given on Shabbos. Among them, one interesting idea that some of the Mephoshim say is you shouldn't think, just like on Shabbos, we don't do Malacha. Maybe, therefore, the rest of the week we need to be learning Torah, but Shabbos we take a break from it. So therefore, maybe we should only be learning Torah on weekdays, and Shabbos we should be taking a break from it. So therefore, no, the Torah itself is given on Shabbos in order to stress the importance of learning Torah on Shabbos. You actually have when it says Vayakel Moshe, that Moshe gathered the people together and told them about Shabbos. We learn from that you have to gather people together on Shabbos in order to learn Torah. You shouldn't think that you take a vacation from Torah on Shabbos. But there's a number of different places in Chassidus where it talks about different angles on that also. In Torah Ur, the Alter Rebbe talks about the idea, in Torah Ur, in Parashat Yisro, that both Shabbos and Torah are Hamshacha Milamayla Lamasa. They're both drawing down something of a lakus into our world, and therefore there's a deep connection between Torah and Shabbos, and therefore it was appropriate for the Torah to be given on Shabbos. There's a Sicha where the Rebbe talks about the idea that Shabbos brings Menucha to the world, the Shabbos brings menucha to the world, and Torah also brings menucha to the world, because it makes the world, as the Gemara is going to say later on, the world was like nervous that the Jewish people are not going to accept the Torah, and therefore that the world is not going to have a purpose to exist, and therefore so the Torah was given on Shabbos. It's connected with that rest that the world had, that the world was able to calm down, and that the world was able to so to speak calm down and know that the Torah is given, and therefore it has a purpose. Okay. So everybody agrees on those facts, says Rava. Ki pligi the kviya de yalcha. The machloitus is what day of the week was Rosh Chodesh Sivan that year. So that's the machlokes. So I think actually let's run through the schedule. Let's run through the timeline according to both opinions, and then tomorrow we're going to continue in the Gemara analyzing how the psukim fit according to the various opinions. So like this, Rav Yosi Sava b'chad b'shaba ik b'yancha. Rav Yosi holds that year Rosh Chodesh Sivan was on Sunday. So what happened was like this. So on Sunday, Moshe didn't say anything to the Jewish people, because they were weak from having traveled. Now, there's a sicha, actually, where they never talked about, what do you mean they were weak from traveling? First of all, they were carried around by an anak covered. And second of all, what? They've been waiting for weeks. They've been counting every day, like we count Siddur, in order to receive the Torah. And all of a sudden, you're telling me they're tired, and Moshe's not going to tell them anything to prepare them for Matan Torah. So the Rebbe actually explains in a sicha that when we say over here that he didn't tell them anything because of chol shad urcha, that itself, that chol shad urcha, that weakness of the road itself was part of the preparation for Matan Torah. They reached a very, very high level. They reached a level even higher than Torah, but they have to be on a level to receive the Torah. They have to be on a level of gashmius to receive the Torah, because the Torah is meant to operate in the gashmiistic world. So therefore, Moshe gave them that time, so to speak, like to decompress from that very high level that they had reached, so that they'd be more on a down-to-earth level and ready to receive the Torah. That's the chol shad urcha, the tiredness of the road, not the physical road that they traveled, but the ruchniistic road that they traveled, which brought them to such a high level that they're higher than the Torah, they're higher than the gashmius of the world, but that's not the appropriate state in which the Torah could be given to them. Okay. Continues Rav Yosi, v'trei b'shaba omalahu v'atim tiuli mamlachas kohenim. On Monday, the second day of Sivan, is when Moshe told them that you will be my kingdom of kohenim and a holy nation. And that's why we have famously day Sivan is called Yom HaMiyuchas, is called the day of distinction, because that's the day that Hashem told us that we're a distinguished nation. So that was on Monday. On Tuesday, Moshe told them they have to stay away from the mountain. They have to put a fence around around Har Sinai, and nobody is allowed to go up on it or touch it or whatever. On Wednesday, the fourth day of Sivan, is when they made the Prisha, when the husbands and wives separated from each other. And as we said before, that was meant to allow enough time that in case there's place of Shechah Zera, that they'll be able to go to the mikvah Friday night and be Tahor for Shabbos day. That's according to Rav Yosi. But Rabbanan, sadly, the Rabbanan moves things up a day. Betray b'shaba ikhayacha. Rosh Chodesh was on Monday. Betray b'shaba le'omelu v'lemidi v'shem chol shadurcha. So again, on that day, Rosh Chodesh Sivan, he didn't say anything to them because of the tiredness from the road. Betlasa omelu v'atim tiyuli. On Tuesday, which was the second day of Sivan, he told them, V'atim tiyuli v'lemachas koyin v'zal kodesh. Barbar omelu v'mitzvah tagbala. On Wednesday, which was the third day of Sivan, according to the Chachamim, he told them the mitzvah of Hagbala, not to go up on the Har Sinai. V'chamisha, Ovid Pradisha. And on Thursday, which was the fourth day of Sivan, they separated from their wives. And then you have all they need is Thursday, part of Thursday and Friday, and then Friday night already they can go to the mitzvah. As we said before, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds like that opinion. So Rabbi explains, that's basically the machlokes between them. How long did the Prisha last? The first three things, everybody agrees what happened. The Chodesh Sivan, everybody agrees what happened. Day Sivan, everybody agrees what happened. Gimel Sivan, the machlokes is what happened on Dalad, Hay, and Vav. Everybody, what happened on Dalit is definitely told them Prisha. The question is, was then the Prisha Dalet and Hay and Vav they receive the Torah, or with the Purusha, Dalet, Hay and Vav, and then on Zion they receive the Torah. So that's the basic machlokas, and we'll continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem, analyzing the various psukim and the various things, how they fit with each of the two different things.
Thank you very much, Rabbi.
Welcome.
Yeah. Cult of a wonderful day.